officially start.
Okay. In
5, 4, 3, 2. Peace, love, lights to the family. What's going on? It's the Prince Richie Moon. Welcome to the Richie Moon Show. And today, for the first time ever, I got my guy Trav on here, and we are celebrating the release of his work of art called 34 Nights. He blissed me with two works of art, and I was on my way home and I was just reading them over and over and over again. And as a fellow poet, as a fellow artist, it dawned on me, I don't think people realize how incredibly intimate it is for them to read your works of art, and how much you are putting yourself out on Front Street, you know, letting your skeleton hang out, you know, opening up your heart space and saying, hey, people, read this. This is how I'm feeling. This is how I've been feeling. So my first question to you is, how does that feel to just finally let it all out?
Well, before I answer that, I want to first thank you for allowing me to be on your platform. I really appreciate it. I also want to say peace to all the listeners and your fan base. I've known this brother for going on about 2 years now, and seeing him grow and continue to build, it's been inspiring. So again, I'm appreciative to be here. But really now, it's kind of like when I write, I go through a lot of ego deaths anyway. So this is like I wouldn't even say the final one, but it's just like it's an even bigger one, because again, like you said, I'm being vulnerable. You know, a lot of people are going to see me in a different way, you know, because a lot of times people can get caught up in who they think you are or the projections and, you know, all this and that. So it's a great release. Like, I feel relieved. It was almost like giving birth, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough.
Hello?
Stay there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, did I cut out for a second?
A little bit. The last thing I heard you say was it was tough at times.
Okay. But yeah, so it was, like I said, it was like giving birth, you know. You know, you reflect on your works and what you've written, and you really start to relive some of those when you initially wrote from wherever space you was in. So again, it was definitely like giving birth, but a big relief, and you know, almost like a burden being taken off my shoulders.
Right. So there's a lot to unpack with just the two works of art that you sent me. So from my understanding, listening to your explanation of it, the video that you put out yesterday, you're from Atlanta.
No, I'm actually from Virginia.
Okay, shout out to VA.
Yes, sir. VA. Virginia's for lovers, y'all. Virginia's for lovers.
Virginia's for lovers, y'all. What was the reason for going down to Georgia?
Well, you know, it was crazy because it was just a bunch of synchronicities, right? So I had got a reading from I don't know if y'all familiar with Aquarius Maximus.
Oh yeah, shout out to Queen Aquarius.
Yes, sir.
Cardiology?
Yes, sir. She was on point, man. I mean,
I want to really tap into that. It's like an unknown knowledge to me, but please continue.
Yes, sir. You know, and I've been fortunate also to take some of her classes, and her mother, Miss Diamond, her classes as well. So again, shout out to them. And but yeah, I got a reading, and it just kinda lined up because I had visited Georgia. This is going back to 2019. I had went to Georgia in the summer of 2019. And you know, I just like the vibe, you know, it's a lot of melanated people down there. So I was like, okay, there's somewhere you can build that. But that was kind of like the final straw, because I got the reading going into like my birthday is in December. So I got the reading going into next year. And, you know, she was pretty much saying that's where she saw me at. And I was like, OK, okay, well, I'll see how it plays out. And it just kind of, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, because I love Virginia, right? But I've been there pretty much my whole life. And right. I had a feeling of like, man, you know what? Maybe I should just go down there and see what happens. Because, I mean, I've been here in Virginia. It kind of feels like I'm not really growing like I want to. So I'm like, why don't I put myself in a whole new environment? So,
right, know. Right. You outgrew where you have grown up at.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And wound up coming down to Georgia in July of 2020. Been down here ever since. You know, then of course I met you, I want to say the month over in August, I want to say. Or maybe July.
Was it the end of July or top of August? It was definitely in July or August, because yeah, I remember, you know, that was smack middle of COVID. So, you know, we was out there. We was outside.
for real, we was outside.
Oh, man. So, all right, you get this reading from Aquarius. Shout out to Aquarius. I didn't even know her mother was, I mean, it makes sense now that you say it, but I didn't even know her mother was into it. But, you know, that's where the energy comes from. All right, you come down here, you know, you feel like you've outgrown where you come from. You get the reading from her. This leads you to Georgia. Now, there had to be, before you came down here, did you already make the decision in your mind that this is where you're going to stay?
I mean, it was still up in the air. I will say, too, I left that out. I had another reading, too, it was just more synchronicities. But shout out to Raven.
Shout out to Raven.
She gave me a tarot reading, and I was like, oh, okay. So it was just lining up across the board. So I didn't know if I was going to stay, you know, this long, honestly. I didn't know what to expect, but since I've been down here, you know, the energy just, it's been amazing, you know. Not only the opportunities, but just the spiritual growth. Like, you know, I've been diving deeper into who I am as a spirit soul more and more. So it's it's really been a blessing, you know.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're down there in Atlantis, man. And, you know, you went down there during a time where I feel like a lot of people were truly discovering that was Atlantis. You know, there was a great awakening, you know what I'm saying? You know, you went down there post blip. You're familiar with the MCU, right?
Yeah.
So we're living in a blip right now. We're living in that 5-year time period right now.
Right.
So I think, you know, the synchronicities lined up, everything pointed for you to be down there. Now, you came down there, you wasn't sure if you were gonna stay. When you first made the decision, like, Trav, this is where it's at, you know what I'm saying? Laying my hat here. Was there something that was just like, all right, this is where I'm gonna be? I know you had the readings and all that and all the synchronicities, but was there one event that happened that you were just like, all right, this is the final decision. I'm gonna lay my hat here.
I think for me at the time, I just got that urge, you know. I like to move, you know what I'm saying? So I just had that urge, like, yo, like, this is what you got to do, because it was like a calculated risk, right? Because again, everything was going on, the whole, you know, COVID, all that going on. You know, I'm telling my family, they kind of looking at me like, they may not say it, but I knew they was looking at me kind of like I was crazy. They were like, why you gonna move down there when, you know, I had actually just moved back to Virginia the year before. So I had only been back in Virginia for a year. And, you know, I'm telling them again, I'm like, oh, I'm about to move here. And, you know, but like I said, just something within my spirit. Like, I was like, it's a calculated risk, right? Because I don't know anybody down there. But I know if I put myself in that situation, I'm going to grow and I'm going to experience a lot of new things. So I'm like, it was really just that spirit of like, nah, this is what you got to do. Like, you know.
That's beautiful. You took a leap of faith and grew wings as you fell. Which I encourage the family to do. Put yourselves in those uncomfortable situations. You put your mind and your body under a certain amount of stress, which opens up your magnetic field, you know what I'm saying, which allows this charge to come through, which raises your voltage. You know what I'm saying? I.e., what I'm saying is raises your energy. Putting yourself in uncomfortable situations raises your energy, and it allows for things that you want to come towards you, because the universe wants to work with you. You know what I'm saying? And when the universe recognizes that this person has put themselves in an uncomfortable position, it's like you're sending out like a signal. You know what I'm saying? To the universe, like, yo, I'm here. I'm ready. I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready to take on whatever you give me. So, you know, you're down in Atlanta. You made the decision. This is where I'm going to lay my hat at. You've taken a calculated risk. Now, here comes the brass tacks of it. How you going to make money? You going to stay? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I know this was like the... Were you writing poetry before this, or was this the genesis of 34 Nights?
Well, I was, I've been writing poetry since I was in grade school, right?
Okay, I'll say to that.
I didn't really pick it back up seriously until I was in college, because at the time I was depressed, so this was like my vent in college, right? So, when I moved, it just kind of made sense because, you know, again, I wasn't familiar with the area. I was still getting acclimated and whatnot. So for those real, I mean, I went out, but I was more so in a cocoon in a sense, you know what I'm saying? So like, again, I just kind of dived back into the writing and, you know, I started to pull some of like my older pieces in there because it kind of fit, but for majority of it, I just wrote right then and there, because I was like, you know, this is where I'm at right now, you know what I'm saying? So but yeah, it just kind of came together, it flowed right, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, when I was looking at places, you know, again, I got an Airbnb for 34 nights, that's why, you know, I titled it that. Mm-hmm. And you know, even for me to pick 34, because, you know, I was looking at, I'm trying to do the numbers, you know, I had a little money saved up, I was like, okay, I can do, you know, at first I was like, I'll do 30 nights, you know, I'm like, cool. Now I was like, well, I can do an extra 4. I'm like, you know, I still be in my budget. So I wind up doing it, you know. But it's dope because, you know, understanding numerology, you know, 3 and 4 make the 7, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, this whole thing was very spiritual for me. Because again, it's really in honor and memory of my mother. So it's like, This like I said, this work is purely spiritual. Like, you know, it's almost like it even tested my faith at times, right? Because I wanted it to come out in 2020, bro. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to drop it then, and then it was like, it just won't line it up right. It was like every time I was trying to do something, like I was hitting like obstacles and whatnot. So even in that, like for it to come out now, it's like, it's nothing but faith, because I could have just scrapped it. Or, you know, sometimes you never complete your works. You just leave it there and be like, oh, I'll do it eventually. But
just stay pregnant.
Exactly, yeah. You know, so you never actually give birth to it. So, you know, even within that, like the 3 and 4 making the 7, you know, it's like I said, it just came together.
Right, the synchronicities. So take me back to that first night, because what I'm picturing in my head is you sitting in your car. You know, you've made this life-changing decision, and now you are not, I don't want to say consequences is not the right word, but you are now dealing with your action. You are now dealing with the cause of, not the cause, the reaction of the cause of, you know, turn of events that you just put into place, but you just move it down there. You haven't been in an Airbnb for 34 nights. What was, do you remember the first, I know you had works of art before that you added into it, but do you remember the first poem that you wrote for this?
Now, I don't remember the first poem, right? But I do remember the fact of that at the time, I want to say Ahmaud Arbery had just been killed. Mm. And one of my poems, you know, is kind of more so... I mentioned him and Breonna Taylor and Floyd Gardner and you know, the
multiple people that were killed.
Yeah, that's the one that comes to mind, like initially when I was, you know, like maybe not that first night, but I want to say around that time, like I think Ahmaud had just been killed, so that was on my, you know, on my spirit at the time. So other than that, I want to say too, I have a poem in there. Matter of fact, it might have been one of the ones I sent you called The Pledge.
Yes. We were definitely gonna roll around to that.
Okay, well I saved that for that. But yeah, I think those two were kind of like some of the first ones I wrote, and then more so too, my writing process is kind of abstract, right? Because like sometimes I'll write just a prose and leave it alone, right? And then I'll write multiple proses and then I'll just start to put them together because they make sense. You know what I'm saying? So it really, that was a majority of this, because I started to just write. Because sometimes, you know, you'll think so much and be like, oh, this doesn't make sense. But it's like when you just let yourself flow and you just let the pen write itself. You know what I'm saying? You don't try to control it too much.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, you'll see, you like, oh, okay, this is how this is coming together. Because, you know, spirit will work like that. It'll work through you. Where it may not make logical sense in the moment, but then you look back and you're like, yo, I got a whole poem here. And I didn't even know I was writing this. You know what I'm saying? It just wrote itself.
I'll shade to that. Oh, I definitely... So, the first poem, as we were setting up this build, I asked my good brother, I said, hey, send me, you know, one or two of your poems so we can specifically talk about it. Once again, I want to thank you. People do not realize how, it's not a risk, but people just don't realize how naked you feel when you take your most intimate thoughts, your pain, and you transmute that into a poem. So I want to thank you again for having the courage to put your feelings on Front Street, because as you said, you know, society does not look at, you know, society looks at men as weak when we show vulnerability, especially us melanated men. You know, we're supposed to be this hardcore, this, da, 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 da. But as if we, you know, we're machines and we don't have feelings and we don't go through things. So I want to start off with RIP. And in this work of art, you are speaking about your mother and the trials and tribulations that she went through, from you seeing her, from her being your superwoman to her, you know, her giving you these words of wisdom, her showing you that nurturing energy, her doing what mothers naturally do. And to see her go from that to not being able to speak, man, that is a daunting experience for anybody to go through. So I want to commend you for being able to articulate that and put it into a very eloquent poem. And I love the fact that you didn't feel the need to rhyme in that, because I think sometimes people get this misconception of poetry that it has to rhyme.
Right.
But it doesn't. It can just, you know, it's a soliloquy. It's a monologue. So what age were you when your mother made transition?
Okay, but before I answer that, I want to say I misspoke earlier. I said, I meant to say Eric Garner and then George Floyd. Of course, rest in peace to them, rest in power. But when I was, my mom, she was diagnosed with cancer when I was 12. And she battled it for 5 years. So she made transition when I was 17.
I shade her. She fought hard for 5 years.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And, you know, the thing I was hitting on is really that last week she was with us, you know, sometimes you'll get a little inkling that it's like, this time it's different, right? Because, you know, she was, you know, in and out of the hospital for them couple years.
Right.
She would do really well, but you know, like cancer is very debilitating, and it
takes a lot out of you.
Yeah, you know, and even the chemotherapy, you know, I saw her lose most of her hair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, she was still beautiful, and you know, I saw also that because she had thyroid cancer, it really started to scar up her neck and throat area. So, even just that, you know, it had an effect on me. But you know, the thing, like I said, that week before she transitioned, she was in so much pain she couldn't speak, and it was tough to see that because it's like, you know, she was like writing notes to me and my sister and my fam on like a notepad, but she couldn't actually speak. And it still amazed me that she could even, you know, write, or you know, because it was almost like you still felt her spirit through her writing, you know what I'm saying? So again, yeah, I was just, you know, trying to touch on that. But again, yeah, I was 17 when she made transition. She actually, a month, I want to say, or a couple weeks after I went to prom, my junior prom.
Well, at least she got to see the pictures.
Yeah, right. You know, and it was crazy in that way because my granny used to always tell me that my mom wanted to see me graduate high school, right? Mm-hmm. But in a way, you know, her seeing me at prom might have just did it for her. You know what I'm saying? So.
Right.
But yeah, like I said, I was 17. You know, going into the latter, it was like the end of junior year in high school. So yeah.
So, you know, your mother had been fighting diligently for 5 years, and in that last strong, you know, it's kind of like a fighter up against the ropes. You know what I'm saying? Like Muhammad Ali doing a rope and dope. You know what I'm saying? Right. So at this point, you really felt like, damn, mom's might have pulled the last trick that she had up her sleeve. If you don't mind, do you remember some of the last? I know there was, gosh, she got to a point where she couldn't speak. But do you remember some of the last things that you said to her? You had a sense of feeling that she was making that transition. Do you remember some of the last things you said to her?
You know, of course, you know, I was just telling her I loved her. But more so, you know, just the...
just being with her?
Yeah, you know, in the physical touch. Like, you know, I used to give my mom a kiss on her forehead all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, just doing that. And it was crazy, too, because the actual day she made transition, and this is a testament to like how God can work in mysterious ways, right? Mm-hmm. So I went to use the restroom, right? And I was in the restroom, and you know, I think I was with my sister and my dad. They was waiting for me, and we was gonna go upstairs because we was in the waiting room downstairs. So we'll go upstairs to see mom, you know. And when I was in there, voice came to me and said, "Would you be okay if your mom passed away?" And I was like, And I sat there with it for a second, and I said, "Well, if as long as she's not in pain no more, I would be okay, I think." And you know, that was it, right? I leave out the restroom. Me, my sister, and my dad, we go upstairs. As soon as we walk in, she just transitioned, bro. Like, it was literally like we walking in to the hospital room, and her spirit had just left her body. And you know, again, just you kind of have like a shock at first, but at the same time, you know, I always try to keep in mind that like what I said, right? If she weren't in pain no more, then I would be okay. Because again, I wouldn't want anybody to live like that. You know what I'm saying? To constantly be going through those cycles of suffering, especially when your spirit is strong, your soul is strong, but your body is failing you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I just again remember the physical touch, the just spending time with her. You know, the little notes she wrote to me and my sister, like. she still had a sense of humor even with all of that. You know what I'm saying? You know, so it was, again, and I even thought about it years later, like the last, within the last couple of years, I was like, my mom was really intelligent, bro. She was a nurse too. So I'm like, she had to know that her time was, you know, she had to know when that last week she was in the hospital, she was gonna probably transition, because I'm like, she got the medical knowledge, you know what I'm saying? She can tell even from her own body and whatnot what's going on. So I'm like, she knew. Because I feel like the whole week we was there, or the last couple of days we were there, it was more so like she was trying to make sure we was good. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, and again, like I said, she wasn't really able to speak. So it was more of an energetic thing, man. You know, right. This is what I was picking up on. I was like, okay. And again, I'm young, you know, but still, I'm picking up on these things. So I'm like, okay, she still want to make sure we good. Mm-hmm. And I'm like,
that motherly energy is right. Always going to be there, even when her back is completely against the ropes and she is about to gracefully bow. She still just wanted to make sure her babies were okay.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, again, all these things had a profound experience on me, bro. You know,
very, man, very. When I first read RIP, man, this side note real quick before I get into that, man, this God body challenge that I just recently went through, it brought so many emotions to the surface. And it's, I know exactly how that feels to sit there and watch somebody that loved you, that raised you, that cared for you, to see them fight that last fight. So I want to thank you for, you know, even though it happened a while ago, it never, you know, I say time does heal all, but it still hurts, you know. So thank you for writing this. Thank you for being so open to speak about this, man. And for everybody that's listening, you know, take the time to really appreciate people while they're here. Smell those roses while they are here, because every single day, each of us, and it's not to sound bleak, this is realistically, it's the beauty of life. We are all one step closer to our mortality. So really take the time of the roses that you have, whether it be friends, family, lovers, forgive, even if you never speak to that person again, forgive for yourself. Have you ever heard anybody read your poetry?
No, bro, I don't think so.
Would you be okay with me reading part of RIP?
Oh yeah, bro, go for it, for sure.
Man, I remember sitting in the hospital with my grandfather and my grandmother. They were both in there simultaneously, and I knew it. I knew that my grandmother has been sick with my entire life, but I can just feel her fight slipping. I felt like she just didn't want to fight anymore. when you were speaking about how your mom was so strong and she couldn't speak, that's very much how I view my grandfather. You know, I got to see real life Superman, and I had to watch a real life Superman almost turn into the Walking Dead. So
right.
Once again, family, please just cherish the people that you have around you. You know, this is RIP by Trav, man. This is, I really love this. Drown me in water. Strangle the rope around my neck. Shoot me in the face. Slit my throat. Anything is better than living without my confidant, my rock. All these questions I know I would have had the answer to reminds me forever of how much you are missed. Your warm hugs, spewing wisdom whenever in need, effortlessly shining through your divine light. I witnessed you battle illness for years. I saw you in pain to a point where you couldn't speak. It crushed me to see you like this. I wondered why God Why was my mama struck with such sickness? She does not deserve this. The sweetest woman in the world. Life suddenly ended, leaving this immense hole in my heart, ripped out, shredded into pulp. Endlessly attempting to fill the void, searching for a numbing agent, anything. I can't take this feeling. The slightest hint of emotion shakes me to my core. You know, a man is supposed to be strong. So if you ever see him, see a tear on my face, I'm instantly seen as weak. Vulnerability is not celebrated in this society. And I want to stop right there for a reason. That's a very powerful line. We touched on this, but I want to dive a little deeper into that. Vulnerability, especially for us, a melanated man, is not celebrated in this society. With your mother transitioning at 17 years old, you know, you being a young whippersnapper in high school and stuff like that, how did your mother's transition affect your relationship with women?
Well, you know, what's crazy is that when I was younger, it really didn't hit me really until I started getting older, right? Mm. Because, you know, part of it too was, you know, I was always been a good student in school. So, you know, I was riding that, and then I'm coming to my senior year, you know. I wound up being valedictorian, you know what I'm saying?
I say.
You know what I'm saying? So I was riding that energy, and then I went to college. But you
what
know,
did you go to college for?
You said what?
What did you go to college for?
I went to college for human nutrition, right? I actually didn't finish. I did 3 years, but yeah, I went to Virginia Tech for 3 years. But yeah, it really didn't start to hit me until I got older. You know, the thing with women, right, is, you know, I've kind of fluctuated, right? I went through periods where I was looking for my mother in the woman I was dating, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And not so much like the mothering energy or like nurturing, you know, but more so like the personality traits, right? Mm. Looking for that in women, right? And to a certain extent, that can be healthy, right? But it can blur too, because it's like, am I still just trying to, like, again, numb myself or fill the void? Or am I, like, accepting that, you know, I'm in pain, right? Mm-hmm. And then I went through periods as well of just, like, distracting myself from pain and other things, right? Mm-hmm. Going on, you know, wild goose chase just, you know, for the thrill of it. Right. You know, just to distract me from, you know, that I got still inner issues that I got to work on or like that I'm dealing with. So I would say, yeah, it just kind of fluctuated. What I have found now, maturing more, is that I really value friendship with a woman because, and also just taking my time because you get to see them in different scenarios of life, and then you can get a more accurate description of who they are as a person. So I would definitely say that, right? But again, I fluctuated. I went through that whole spectrum of, like, again, looking for my mother and certain women, you know, even to a point where, like, you know, for a while I stopped believing in love, or like, you know, that you can even find like a somebody that's a reflection of you. So I went through all of that, man, you know, but again, it helped that I had, you know, I have four aunts, right, on my mom's side, right?
Oh, shit. Okay. So that nurturing motherly energy, you know, was always there.
Yeah, you know, and I got to big up them and my sister and my granny too, because, you know what I'm saying? Because especially my granny, right? My granny, for the time that, you know, that my mom was in the hospital that last week, she was with her every night, bro. Like, she was right by her bedside. So, you know, I got infinite love for my granny because, you know, I wouldn't even met my mom if it weren't for her. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
Getting that energy from my granny, my sister, my aunt, my aunt Gwen, my aunt Erica, my aunt Carla, my aunt Neat, like all of them, they kind of like, you know. And I even that's why I dedicated, you know, my book to them as well, because, you know, I mentioned, I was like, in their own way, they had like special relationship with my mom. But and again, my mom was the oldest of them, right? So you know what I'm saying? So it was like they really did their part. They filled in when like I needed it. And they may have not even known, bro. You know what I'm saying?
They knew. Because your mother was a second mother to them.
That's true. That's real.
Because she was the oldest, so you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? True. She was the second mother to them. Wow. Shout out to your aunties, man. Yes. Oh man.
And again, my granny, you know, so many times, my granny Aaliyah, bro, she's just so strong, man, like just a solid, you know, sometimes, you know, and then my sister, you know, gotta shout out her, because, you know, we actually born the same day, bro, three years apart.
Wow.
And
when is your born day?
December 15th.
Okay, you gotta be there, about to come up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Big Sag energy. What's your rising?
Leo.
Ooh, yeah. What's your moon?
Libra.
Okay, balance. Yeah. What's your sun?
The Sag.
Oh man, double places in a Sag. True Sag energy.
Yeah, man. But you know, again, my sister, man, she you know, it's been times where, you know, I didn't call her on the phone and like, you know, I'm really messed up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And she'd just sit there and listen to me, you know, and it won't be no judgment, none of that, you know. And even in a sense too, you know, you know, when I was younger, I didn't always have the best relationship with my pops, but as I've gotten older, it's gotten way better, and I would actually consider him one of my best friends now, right? But you know, even that has helped, because you know, sometimes you don't get all the stories of like you know, who a person was until you get older, right? So
yes,
hearing these stories from my pops and then my granny and my sister too, because my sister, you know, she was older than me when I was like little, so I may not remember certain things. But getting those different stories from my aunts, all of that, it helped me to get even a clear picture of who my mom was, you know. But again, yeah, man, having that help as well, because it just balanced it out. Because like I said, I went through my little phases, you know, but having that was very key. And like I said, I want to say again, I'm very grateful for all of them.
Did you have 34 works of art on there? In the book? Yeah.
Man, don't quote me. I believe so, bro. But I want to say I was trying to do that, but I didn't actually count after I made my final draft. So, but I want to say it is. But again, don't quote me on that.
What was your favorite one to write?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. My favorite one to write? Man, that's deep. The one that comes to mind maybe is I want to say is Eternal Internal Death. I want to say is that one. I think that was probably one of my favorites to write. Other than that, it's another one in there called Racy, and then it's one more that can't think of the name of it right now at the moment. But
you said internal and external death?
Internal is, I spelled it like, I put an E I think in front, but it's like eternal internal death.
Okay, can you take me through what was the creative process and the inspiration behind that?
Well, you know, I was writing that, right, and I was just looking at how brutal life can be, right? And you know, I was just reflecting on how the polarities can coexist, where a baby can be born and it be so innocent, right? Yet that just down the street, a pedophile and a murderer can live, right? Or that, you know, you can be so pure, but you'll go out into the world and you can be corrupted, you know? The fact too of that, you know, even in this society, it's a society, the way it's set up, it tries to make you sick, you know. It's blasting you with toxic things on the daily. So it's like, you know, kind of reflecting on that, you know, put me into the space to write that, you know. And I'm just kind of going through, in a sense, a death of myself, but also, you know, still looking at things from an optimistic way as well, you know. But other than that, go ahead, bro.
No, I was gonna say, you're a big, big Sagittarius energy. Can you, you know, your season's here. Your season's here. We're in Sag season here.
Yeah.
What is something? You said you're a Sagittarius rising too, as well, right?
No, I'm a Leo rising.
You're a Leo rising. Ooh, big fiery energy. What is? Can you tell the family out there something about a Sagittarius that you think they should know?
I think a lot of people stereotype Sagittarius as like non-committal, but Sagittarius actually enjoy relationships. They really do. They really do. The main thing about it though is that you have to understand what freedom is for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times a Sag will run, it's not so much that you're so much clingy, but or rather the clinginess can show up in other ways, right? It's not just with physicality, but even in how you think, right? You have to be open-minded if you want to be in a relationship with a Sag, you know what I'm saying? You have to really kind of, you really committing to being on a journey, you know, with them. And I would say that, and then also that, you know, it's, our hearts are really genuine, you know. A lot of times, like I said, we'll get stereotyped, but, you know, just speaking for myself, man, I always try to uphold myself to, like, higher standards and being honorable in my dealings with people and being genuine. So, you know, that's the main thing I would say that maybe people don't know about Sagittarius, you know.
Shade to that. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So you've been down in Atlantis for 2 years now. You are working on 34 Nights. Things have come full circle, and you have finally released 34 Nights. Who was the first person you told?
About the book or the release?
The release.
The first person I told, I wanted to say actually it was my sister.
Mm-hmm.
She knew it was coming, but then I also told my, I had an advisor when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And we still keep in touch. She's one of my best friends. She's actually a Sag too.
Oh, sure.
And she, her name is Kimberly, but I told her as well. And, you know, she actually read the book for me when it was like still in its rough phase.
Uh-huh.
And she gave me valuable feedback, and it was, it just helped with the process. It was very beautiful. So,
That's beautiful. I'll shade it, Kim.
Yeah.
If we're just speaking hypothetically, if you had an opportunity to showcase some of your works of art, give me four works of art that you would want to present that could give an overall theme of what 34 Nights are about.
So definitely probably either Rip, the one that you briefly recited.
Mm-hmm. Or I'm gonna finish that too.
Okay, but it's also another one in there called My Dearest Friend, and it's about my mother as well.
Mm-hmm.
Either that or that one. I wouldn't mind doing E or Internal Death. Also, just because I have like a whole little section in the book where it's more so dedicated to certain women that I've met in my life that have, you know, profound effects on me.
Right.
But I, again, I want, yeah, one of them may be The Pledge too.
Yeah, I was going to say The Pledge. Yeah, definitely. Because yeah. you end it and it literally says 4 Brown Sugar.
Yeah, right.
Brown sugar, back. I guess high up your head.
Hey, and it's dope, bro, because I have a poem called Brown Sugar that I have performed before, right?
Uh-huh.
That's that's probably one of the first ones I started performing out here in Atlanta. And you know, I always get a nice reception from it. But again, that probably would be one too. I didn't put it in the book, but it that one would be in the pledge. And I have one called I wouldn't mind performing Baby Moon either. It's another one where actually, this is a little secret, right? Because I mean, all of them, you really couldn't tell unless you really, really knew me who I'm talking about. But Baby Moon is about two different women, right? But it's kind of like what I do is like I kind of blend them, right? Because in a way, I felt how I felt the same way about both of them, right? But then it's like different qualities or characteristics of them are in it, or you know, reflected in it, right? So
I love that. I love the little secrets, the little tidbits, the you know, how you was talking about, you know, you wrote a poem called Brown Sugar and then you ended with Four Brown Sugar. I mean, those are the things that I look for when I read poetry. You know, storytellers, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
I love intricate, long-term Easter egg. Oh, that's why he finally comes around. Oh, that's why he said that. I love those kind of stories. So I love to hear that. And I'm excited to purchase your work of art and, you know what I'm saying, look for those connections, you know what I'm saying, in those common themes that you have running throughout it, man.
Nah, man, I appreciate you, bro, for real. Like I said, like you just perfectly described, I'm trying to, you know, because again, even in that sense, right, I say in the book, like, I was saying on my post on social media that, look, if you really want to understand me, you should read this book because, you know, again, these stories and these themes have played out in my life and it's gave meaning to who I am as a person. So, again, like, you know, Brown Sugar, you know, these names, you know, like I said, Racy is another one, Queen of Egypt, you know what I'm saying? These women have played pivotal roles in my life, you know, and that's even in the honor of the feminine principle and women in general, like how profound impacts they can have on your life. So, again, man, I say anybody that does, you know, tap in with me and read the book, I would love for them to send me feedback, of course, or taking pictures with the book. Just anything, man. Like if it inspires you, you know, to write your artistry as well, I'm all for that. Because again, this is I also wrote this really, you know, to be inspirational in a way. Because you know, I hit a lot of low points, but I'm still here. You know what I'm saying?
Oh shit! Oh shit to that. So, you know, as we've said several times, you know, reading somebody's work of arts, you know, well, you know, you open up your heart space, you open up your soul.
Right.
If there is there one particular work of art that you have on here that you if you had the opportunity to sit down with Mama Trav and to write on a notepad how she was so eloquently writing to you in her last days, what is the poem that you would slide to your mom?
It probably would be My Dearest Friend. Because, you know, that one kind of encapsulates, you know, my mom used to tell me all the time that she was my only best friend, right? And I used to be like, man, what? I'm like, I got all these friends. And as I got older, I started to understand what she was saying, because a lot of people really don't have your best interest, right?
No.
But your mama will, you know what I'm saying? Even if you had odds with her, right? She'll always have your best interest. She'll always be trying to look out for you. Mm-hmm. So that's probably the one I would recite to her, you know?
Go ahead, continue.
Oh, no, that was it.
If you could go back in the past, we can hop in our DeLorean, we can hop in a spaceship, Right. You know, we can rewind the sun. The future past. What time period would you go to?
Oh man, that's a good question, bro. I mean, it may be a little cliche, so I'm gonna say this one, but then I'm gonna give another one. Of course, I would go back to, you know, ancient Egypt, ancient Kemet, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, I would want to go back to when in the Moorish times, or even, you know, when we was really in tribal times, like mm-hmm. worldwide, you know. And the reason I say that is because I've always thought of myself as the traveler, right? Because mm-hmm. I would be the one out of the tribe that would leave the home place of the tribe, and everybody may look at me weird because they'd be like, why you want to leave? And it's like, because I want to learn, and it's like, it's stuff out here. And you know, I would come back and, you know, tell them about what I've learned, and right. in a sense be a teacher, you know.
Right.
So
right.
That
you know, it's ironic you say that, because you know, just your physical look, it that makes so much sense. It really does. It really does. Like, you know, it does. Like, you know, with the hoop earring, you know what I'm saying? It's a bit pirate-esque, you know what I'm saying? I know that, you know what I'm saying? Our ancestors, like you said, the Moors, we traveled these seas. We was jet-setting across from, you know, north of Mexum, back over here, back over right. this place, and, you know, trading energy, I mean, trading knowledge and swapping and doing all this. So that actually makes a lot of sense. Now, to double down on that,
also, yeah. Atlantis too, though. I would love to be back when we, you know, I mean, everybody may not necessarily believe it, but I'm like, I would.
Yeah, listen, Atlantis was real. They tried to portray it like it was a fantasy because yeah. you know, once we start to dig deep into that knowledge, you know, you can't put the toothpaste back in a tube.
Right, no, it's true.
That's it, man.
I like that.
That's it, man. You know, once them doors is open, that ain't no closing back.
Right, right.
Is there any particular person or persons that you would sit down with and want to share your poetry with the full context of you being from this time period and them being from that time period, and this being known, no secret, not blending in. You are from this time period and you're from that time period. Any historical figures or figure that you would want to sit down with?
Well, first of course, I would love to recite my poetry to Pop, right?
Come on, hit him up. Know,
because, you know, a lot of people don't even realize, like, Pop was really a poet before he even was a rapper, man. You know, if they read his book too, they would see that, like, you know, I have his book, right? Mm-hmm. And while I was writing some of my, you know, my book, 34 Nights, I was reading his. I was going back over it because I was, one, you know, as an artist, you don't necessarily, like, try to take from other people, but you want to see how yours stacks up against others, right?
Right.
You know, right. So I always, you know, especially when I would write about women, I was always trying to recreate that energy that he had in that poem mm. that he wrote about Jada. So I'm like, you know, just in those few lines where he like, Jada, you the omega of my heart. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, to be able to do that in my own way. You know what I'm saying? So definitely Pop, Maya Angelou for sure. I've read some of her works as well. And
I love Maya Angelou's work. Yeah. Man, it's like the sunrise. It's like watching the sunrise.
Nah, for real. It's a beautiful process. I would say to Kobe Bryant.
Oh, Black Mamba.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I maybe Malcolm X too. You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Those would probably be. Yeah.
I like those picks. Yeah. I like those picks. There's some very powerful brothers and sisters, and powerful masculine and feminine energies who were all poets in their own right.
Right.
You know, every time Malcolm spoke, it was like a poem.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, man, I'll shake to that, man. As we start to land this plane home, what I would like for you to do is, if you don't mind, could you recite one of your favorite works of art? And it doesn't have to be from 34 Nights. You know what I'm saying? It could just be in general. I know as an artist, sometimes we have that monologue, we have that work of art, that dance, whatever, however you express yourself artistically, that one little routine that you always keep in the pocket. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's the first one you memorize, or the first one that got you a callback, whatever the case is. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't have to be from 34 Nights, but would you mind reciting one of your favorite works of art? Oh no. You still there?
Can you hear me, bro?
Yeah, you there.
Did it cut out?
Oh, it went silent for a little bit, but you good though. Okay.
But I was saying, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What I was saying was that, since we've kind of been talking about it, I might as well do Brown Sugar.
Okay. I want you to hold that thought for 1 second.
Okay.
We are going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to tap right back in. We're going to land this plane home, and we're going to come right back with Brown Sugar. We'll be right back, kings and queens. And we are back, and as we are in the phases of landing this plane home, man, shout out to my guy Trav, shout out to 34 Nights, shout out to all the artists out there that wear their heart on their sleeve, that express themselves through dancing, poetry, hip-hop, singing, dancing, painting, sculpting, however it is you release your art. Ashe to you. Thank you for contributing to this world. Because if you really look at it, the earth without art is just it. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to all the artists, because we truly, you know, politicians, quote unquote, and governments, all that, they make quote unquote run the world. And I say huge quote unquote, but I truly feel it is the artists who truly shape this world. It is the artists who move the planet. It is the one, we are the ones that take the risk, that put our vulnerability out there, that literally just put our soul out there and say, this is me. Take it, leave it, whatever it is. And I believe through us, people are truly able to live their most authentic self, because they look at us and they're like, well, they're doing it. They put all their vulnerabilities out there and they're walking proud, chest out high, bragging about it. So I feel like through artists, we give people the ability to live in their truest essence, in their authenticity. So I want to thank you as a fellow artist for contributing to the never-ending story.
Hey man, you know, I appreciate you too, because you know, everybody doesn't have a necessarily an eye or an ear for art. So it's like to have somebody that understands that process and is able to communicate and be an advocate for it too is a blessing. So again, I'm grateful for you as well, bro.
Oh, man, peace, man. We reflections of each other, man. So this is just,
it's fact.
This is just us building up the greatness. So without further ado, we've been alluding to it, we've hinted at it, it's been foreshadowed. Ladies and gentlemen, Brown Sugar.
All right, can you hear me, bro?
I can hear you loud and clear.
All right. Brown Sugar, my sweetest friend, where did I love go? I ponder and ponder on what could have been. I guess I was taught another lesson. For when I looked into your eyes, your soul spoke to me. At the time, I was not even close to the man I strive to be. I thought too much of myself. I was too intimidated by the presence of you. Your vibe was rousing. I had already envisioned how your love would be. Yet, I got too comfortable. I wanted to control the perception of me, not realizing that all this thinking neglected me from you. You were such a gem. At the time, I felt I did not deserve. Your eyes screamed the potential, passion hidden under your wit. Your smile enchanting, leaving a sensation like I'd already been kissed. Our conversations always left me eager, hanging on to the last words, analyzing the motion of our rhythm. We were manifesting a distinctive vibration where we would get more and more of each other every single day. The more I learned, the longer I wanted to stay by your side, though it was not possible due to you belonging to another pride. All these souvenirs accumulated in such a short time constantly reminds me of the magic that exists. So I'm sure we were lovers in another life, for this is the reason, and this reason alone, I hold a place in my heart. So if we ever meet again, we'll have a great place to start. And if we do not, I will not fret, for my dreams will keep me soaring of the memories when we first met.
Man, I'll say, man, thank you, man. Woo. That was powerful. I loved it. Oh man, yeah. I can definitely say hi to ladies with a
try. hey. But you know, now you know you read the players too, so you can see, you know what I'm saying,
right?
You see the connection, you know,
right. Most definitely, man. Oh man, I like that. Yeah, man. Thank you once again, man. That was powerful, man. And I don't want to end on it's not a sad ending, but more of a celebration of life, more to celebrate your mother, you know, because, you know, as in our culture, as the world has seen in Black Panther and Wakanda Forever, death is not the end for us.
That's true. That's very true.
So I'm going to land this plane home with reading the second half of RIP, but family, I don't want this to put you in a place of darkness, or to just be a great cloud to the ending of this conversation, but more of a reminder to cherish those around you, your actual mother, your mother figures, your actual father, your father sister, your father figures, brothers, sisters,
right,
cousins, uncles, your soul tribe.
Right.
Your soul, oh my gosh, your soul tribe is so important, because a lot of us, you know, the quote unquote black sheep of our families, because we decided to go on this journey of self-awareness. So in some ways we feel kind of ostracized from our family because they're not up on the same game as that.
Yeah.
But this is just to show appreciation to all those that you have around you, your inner circle, your family, all that stuff. So I say to them, and really cherish those relationships, especially the ones where you're building each other up. Just take that time to cherish those relationships, build it, and take pictures. I know in this society we're kind of a little bit obsessed with pictures, but not take pictures for Instagram or Facebook or for social media, but when things change, and they do, because something about those tables, they always end up turning. What I love about pictures, no matter what you've been through, whether you're still speaking, whether the love has been lost, whether the love has been gained, at that moment in time, during that picture, that is exactly where you want it to be and who you want it to be with. And I think that's beautiful.
Nah, that's deep, bro. I just wanted to add to that, again, like you said, this book is a celebration of my mother's life and her legacy, right?
For sure.
You know, to understand that, right? Because what I'm really trying to display is that my mother, she was liberated. She gained her wings. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
When her body failed her, keep this in mind, her body was failing her. Her faith never wavered. You understand? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, again, like, this is a celebration because, you know, she carried herself in a manner that it set an example for everybody in the family. You know what I'm saying? Especially, again, for me, you know, seeing that at a young age, you know, even the things that I learned for those 5 years, it was like an advanced course on life. You know what I'm saying? A mastery course, you know, because I saw her at times again be very weak, you know, and she couldn't move like she wanted to. But yet she would still make sacrifices to make sure me and my sister was good. So again, this is a celebration of her warrior spirit and, you know, who she was and the profound impact that she had on everybody that she ever met. So again, this is to her. I love you, Mom. Like Nas said on Godson, your sun shining, you know what I'm saying? But again, I'm just a reflection of her, you know. So anybody that meet me, you meet my mother, you know what I'm saying?
Man. I shake to that.
Hey, I shake.
Yeah, like I said, you know, reflection of her. So me is me, my mom. Thank you. Damn. Oh man, I needed that. Wow, I needed that. Thank you. Even as I'm writing these words, my body quivers in terror. For those who read this will see the side I always disguise. My own family isn't aware of how broken I am. Friends thinking everything is all gravy while I battle depression every fucking day. I don't complain. Most just see the smile and mask I wear. I'm becoming skilled at it, you know, a master of the poker face. I muster this energy by constantly reminding myself. God gives her toughest battles to the mightiest warriors. I know Ma was of that lineage, battling cancer for years, pushing through her tears, staying equally yoked while her fire was placed upon her life. She left me the wisdom through experience. I learned from observations, trials and tribulations, unlock your truest reflection. Forever motivated, she kept her composure while her body failed her miserably. The tax was felt through our family. We were suddenly torn, worrying more with each passing day. My mother continued on, brave-hearted, looking mortality in his face. Finally, she was about to finish her race. Her message to me, you only truly appreciate people in death. The gap left is the measure of their significance to you. The realest inspiration for my life came through the power I witnessed my mother wield. When most would roll over and die, she fought till the end. Man, fucking powerful, man. That shit hits you right in the feels, man. Ashe, man. Thank you for once again for having the courage to bear your soul like that. You know, and I said this in the beginning, I'm gonna keep saying this, family. If somebody sends you their works of art, if you purchase their works of art, honestly, I'm gonna speak for myself, and you know, you let me know if you agree with this. I would rather you not purchase my works of art than not read it. Like, don't buy it just to, oh hey, like I got the book.
Yeah, I agree.
Don't do that. Because us as artists, we are putting our fucking lives out here. We are writing our soul. We are writing everything we have experienced up until this point. So if you, and I understand life gets busy, I understand things that happen, but if we appreciate the support, but if you're not going to actually read it, you know, just don't.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. Because again, like you know, artists, we sensitive about what we putting out, man, you know. And knowing too that like sensitivity isn't a weakness, it's actually a superpower. Because I've been in periods or phases in my life where I was so closed off and cold, I couldn't feel anything. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's the way, you know. I think you have to come to terms with what you are feeling and know too that emotions are temporary, right? But it's wisdom in them, you know. But you never gonna get the wisdom if you don't go swimming in that sea, you know. You got to be brave, you know what I'm saying? So again, yeah, I definitely agree with that. if you don't just buy, just, you know, oh, I support you monetarily, but it's like, nah, but like I said, it's even a subtitle once you open the book, an introduction to the real me, right? Mm-hmm. You know, even the fact too of like, you know, my pen name is Tafari, right? Mm-hmm. So that's Swahili for awe-inspiring. So when I'm writing, I'm trying to be awe-inspiring. Matter of fact, I'm not even trying, I am being awe-inspiring, right? Oh, so when you understand that, again, don't, like he said, don't just be buying stuff to buy it and then you not actually take time to sit with it and read and try to understand, right? Because again, it's no guarantee that you will understand, but at least if you're striving to, that shows me that you got some love for me, you know what I'm saying? So again, I would agree with that.
Alright, man. Man, I'll shake to that 100%, man. I'm excited to dive into this. I want to thank you for taking the time to come on the Richie Moon Show. I'm glad that we had the opportunity to catch up, speak about your works of art. I want to come to Atlanta. I really, really want to come to Atlanta. You know, Red and Blue Pill, open up the Royal Chamber. Mm-hmm. I really want to get up there. Not too long ago, on November 11th, in the middle of Scorpio season, I actually released my own works of art.
Right.
Correct Vision.
Okay.
And I really want to, you know, I love performing. You know, I've been blessed with the opportunity to have an open mic every Monday. Go there and just really, you know, bare my soul and let it out. So I really want to come down to Atlantis, or from where I'm at, cross over to Atlantis and leave some of my energy there.
Sure.
My guy, man, I appreciate your vulnerability. I have a deeper understanding and respect for your pen game, for you as a, put that to the side, for you as a man, as a living entity, as a guy with amnesia, having this human experience. I thank you, my brother. Ashe to you, man. I really appreciate you taking the time to come onto my platform. I appreciate you being open to the questions that I was asking, you know, because I know some of the questions I was asking was purposely uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, but that's how we grow.
It's true. And, you know, I say, again, I'm grateful that you even invited me to your platform, bro, for real. Because, you know, anytime I get an opportunity to even talk about my mom or me, it's a blessing. So I'm very grateful for it. You know, also, I will be supporting you too with your poetry book as well.
I appreciate you, man.
I love to do that. You know, it's always good to stay, you know, tapped in with your own community. And also, when you do come down, man, let me know, because I pretty much know all the spots out here that you can hit. You know what I'm saying? So.
Oh yeah. Oh, most definitely. Oh yeah, I'm with it. Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah. I'll definitely let you know in advance so we can link up, you know what I'm saying? Hit some open mics together, you know what I'm saying? I'm definitely here for that.
Right. And matter of fact, I'm still up in the air, but I may be in Miami in January, but I'll let you know.
Yeah, man, let me know, man. Tap in, you know what I'm talking about?
I'll let you know, for sure.
Drive, is there anything that you would like to leave the people with before we ride into the moonlight?
I just want to say again to everybody listening and that will listen, hopefully you heard this conversation and this discussion with your heart, and hopefully you got something out of it. And the main takeaway is that love is all we got, right? You know, I put down on the back of my book, love is all we got. Again, Richie hit on it earlier too, if you got beef with people that you love, squash it, because it's not worth it. And I'm telling you from personal experience, I wish I would have got more time with my mom. I wish I would have even just been around her more when she was in the hospital that last week. You know what I'm saying? I really do. And you never get those moments back. You never do. So again, cherish these moments that you have with your loved ones. You know, continue to live. You know, if anybody is dealing with somebody that's passed on, you carry their spirit with you at all times. Like I said, anybody that meet me, they meet my mom and carry that with you. You know, you have them in your hearts, you know. So don't ever give up, because they rooting you on from the Astros, you know what I'm saying? So keep doing the work, keep going. They proud of you, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you don't think so, they are, because a lot of people will let that stop them, right? And then this is just the last thing on grieving. Grieving, it comes in seasons and waves, right? Every day is going to be different. The key is to not judge yourself, because a lot of times you'll think, like, this is something I went through, especially even as a man. I felt like I wasn't supposed to be vulnerable. I wasn't supposed to be emotional or cry. And I'm like, this happened oh so many years ago. I shouldn't even be feeling like this, right? That's not true. Every day is different. You're just supposed to sit with yourself and be present as much as you can. Because like I said, some days it's going to hit different, you know? I remember actually, you know, earlier this year on Mother's Day hit totally different than it has in the last few years, right? I mean, I'm at work. I was working with Amazon at the time, and I'm in the truck bawling, crying, you know what I'm saying? Like a baby, man. And, you know, I'm sitting there, sitting with myself like, look, like, this is okay, though, because, again, every day going to be different. It's going to hit different sometimes, you know? And, you know, just give yourself that grace, because there's nothing wrong with you. Grieving is natural, you know? You share a connection with somebody that was loving and enduring, and they not here anymore in the physical, yeah, it's gonna take a toll. But again, they always live in your heart. And a key thing about grief is that you get out of that heavy grieving and the grieving process when you start to celebrate that person. So celebrate your people. You know what I'm saying? Change that energy, celebrate them. You know, like I said, 34 Nights is out now. It's dedicated to my mother on everything. It's all love. Like I said, it's all love.
I love that. Ashe. Thank you, my good brother. Ladies and gentlemen, 34 Nights out on Amazon. Tap and make leave the people your contacts and where they can get in touch with you at.
Okay. My email is watchtcgrow@gmail.com. I'm also on IG at YG2_TRAV. I'm also on Twitter at that same handle. If anybody does purchase a book, again, I'm welcoming feedback. You know, even if you don't reach out to collab, or if this message, you know, hits you in a certain way, I'm always down to talk, you know. But yeah.
Much appreciated. Thank you once again for tapping into the Richie Moon Show. Ladies and gentlemen, go cop that. Go buy keep for a collector's item and want to take a picture with. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir. Do that. For right. Sure.
Support, family. Support, yo. We are truly all we got. Support, yo. Really support. And sometimes support is not always in the form of a purchase, man. Just, you know, reaching out, showing love. You know what I'm saying? A repost, a like, a share, a comment. You know what I'm saying? Just, once again, just reaching out, letting people know that you're I see you. You're appreciated. Right. Thank you. This has been my guest, special guest, first time ever on the Richie Moon Show, Trav. I want to thank you, my good brother. When I come to Atlanta, I'm definitely going to tap in with you. As we land this plane home and we ride off into the moonlight, ladies and gentlemen, remember the value that you mirror in yourself reflects onto others. I want to thank my guests for being vulnerable, for just laying it all out there and standing strong in his square and expressing his creativity. And I hope that you gained some value from this intimate conversation. I really like to think of my platform as a private conversation in public mixed with education and entertainment. We educated you, we entertained you. And I want to thank everybody out there that's going to listen to this later, that's going to purchase this book. from him, and you know, I was gonna reach out. You're much appreciated. I see you. That has been Trav. My name is the Prince Richie Moon. This is the Richie Moon Show, and that was a Moon's Eye View. Peace, love, and life, family.
Peace, y'all.